happened. And he's going to turn out to be a blessing. I think that's God's way of letting us know that it's not about us, and it's all about him. He can do mighty things if we are open, we trust, and we are willing to follow him every step of the way. Lord, we just thank you. And I thank you, Lord. I just pray now that you might give me the words, Lord, to minister to your people. And Lord, it's not about me, it's about you. So Holy Spirit, I pray that whatever comes out of my mouth this morning, Lord, it'll be pleasing to you, that you just use me as your instrument to proclaim the good news of the gospel. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Now, I've been thinking of a lot about what's happened after the election. And really, if you listen to the news, you can become very discouraged. We hear, you know, the protests, and I listen to both sides from the left and the right, and I see hateful language, strong language against the other. It seemed like that's the flavor of the day. And through all of what's going on in our country, then we find little Israel. If you look at the map, Israel is nothing but a dot on the map. Israel is surrounded by her enemies. Enemies that want to annihilate the whole country and kill all the Jews. We know that we find that in biblical history as well. Israel is what? I think it's like 9,000 square miles compared to their enemies over millions of square miles. And yet there's Israel. As we know, in 48, they became a sovereign state, a nation, prophesied by God hundreds of years earlier. And we know the story. We know that Israel is God's promised chosen people. Why? Because God promised Abraham. And God is always faithful to his promises, that I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Much was expected and is expected of Israel. And God, when he said, you are my chosen people, he also was saying, but I expect a lot from you. I expect you to be obedient. And that started way back during the days of the Exodus, when God told Moses, okay, the promised land, he talked about the promised land, and then he said, clean them out, don't mix with what? The pagans. And time again, we'd see God would perform a miracle, and the Israelites would just disobey. Disobedience. You know, Moses goes up the mountain, and what happens? Aaron, his brother, you know, they decide they wanted a golden calf. I mean, one story after another, after another, after another, after another, we see disobedience. But then we see the remnant. After a period of disobedience, we see the remnant of God calling the faithful back and says, I will bless you. God never wiped them out. Why? Because they're God's chosen. He wouldn't do that. So theirs was as a history of blessings and then a time of disobedience. And we can see that from the judges, you know, the kings. You have a good king, then you have a really bad king. You know, things would go great. I look at Josiah. He was he took the throne at such a young age, but he was a man of God. He's a man of God. And God used him in mighty ways, and they were blessed. There again, you know, you think that we'd all learn. But we're all human, and we fall in the same trap. Sometimes we're good, sometimes we're bad. Sometimes, you know, we rejoice in the Lord, and other times we let him down. We all do that because we're human. That's just the way it is. But as I look at Israel, and I look at the Jews and what they've gone through all of those years, and I was thinking about Israel this week. Mike, wasn't just when you called, I started thinking about Israel. But it's been on my mind. And Jan was visiting with some of her friends that she gets together with on a monthly basis, and they have lunch. Some of her old friends she went to junior high with in grade school. And Jan really is the only, what you call, Christian. And so she kind of got bombarded Friday by one of her friends says, well, the Bible isn't relevant for today. You know, it's old-fashioned. And another one says, well, I don't believe all the Bible, no way. And of course, I was quizzing Jan. He said, how did you respond? What did you say? Oh, I would have said this, you know. And so I thought of that to Karen, I think it said, that, you know, the Bible just isn't for today. And I thought, are you kidding me? Just look at our history. Look what's going on today, getting back to Israel. You know, it's amazing when you stop and think about it, how long ago, 4,000 some years ago, God gave that promise to Abraham. You will be a father of what? Of nations. I have chosen you. You are my special ones. Not because you're so good, but because I chose you. That was my promise, and I never forget a promise. So that was the foundation set back when. And then as we move through prophecy in the Bible, we see so many prophecies that have been fulfilled up to this point. We are in the last days, I believe it. But we got to be careful with that, as we know. That's all God's timing. But we know through that we are in the last days. And with Israel, you will see, if you look at her history, how many countries and people have tried to annihilate Israel, the Jews? And then we go right up to the Holocaust. And yet through all of this, in 48, they become a sovereign state. That's all God. That's all God saying, oh, no, no, you're not going to eliminate them because they're my chosen. And friends, we are God's chosen. All who believe in Jesus Christ, we are part of the heavenly club. And we are sealed into the day of redemption if you're a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, Israel. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, brother in Christ, sister in Christ. You're mine. I paid for you. I paid for you. You are mine. No matter what you think, no matter what happens in your life, you're mine. And for me, that just is another example of the truth of the Bible and how relevant it is for today. All those prophecies about Israel are coming to pass. Israel will never be wiped out. I don't care how many missiles the Iranians have and Russia. I'm saying they are. Who's standing in their place? God. Who's standing before them? The Almighty God. God is in charge. So I don't want to go deep into prophecy, but I thought of that today as I prayed and I said, God, what is it that you want me to share with your people? And so I'm thinking, well, I could share this, I can share that, I can share this. He kept saying, no, 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 no. And he said, I'll let you know what it is that you want me to share. And so I'm shaving, thinking, boy, I need a trim. I need my haircut this week. You know, all this crazy things we think of as human beings. Well, what's it going to be? And I said, well, God. And then he started giving me some scripture. I thought, how are we going to pull this together? I thought, okay, I'll start writing things. I was telling Kathy this morning. So God gave me three scriptures, and I started working on them really fast. I got my computer out, and as God gave me things, and I was writing things down, I got point one, point two. Then Jan said, hey, we have to leave. Really? Okay, so So I had to put it. I said, I'm going to print this off really quick. I went and go to my printer, and it wouldn't work. Car's running. Jansen, let's go. I'm saying, I can't because the printer is not working. Fooled around with the printer for a little bit, nothing happened. I thought, so what am I going to do? I said, Satan's in this. Satan's trying to prevent this from happening. So what I did, I took my computer, put it in the car, and said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I got some notes, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to just finish my notes in the car. You ever try to write in a car? You know, it was amazing. So Jan was driving. He said, Jan, you drive. And we prayed, and I'm trying to write down some thoughts, and my hand's going like this. I couldn't even, it was all in Hebrew. And it's been a long time since I've read Hebrew. But that's what it looks like. It was amazing. I told Jan, I said, this is not going to work. And as God is saying, well, don't you worry about it. Don't worry about it. I've got you covered. And, you know, sometimes we know that, but sometimes it takes the nudge of the Spirit to say, listen, I've got this. I've got this. You just need to step out in faith. You need to trust. You need to trust me in this. So, friends, that's what I'm doing. I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding, and He is faithful. And so I have three passages for you this morning, and God has laid upon my heart, and I'd like to share them with you, if I may. Now, this is going to be the last one. Excuse me if I talk out loud. Sometimes I do that to myself, but as long as I don't answer myself, I guess I'm okay. And the first one I want to share with you is one that's very familiar to us. It comes from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. And probably many of you have memorized that verse. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. You know, God has given us something very special. He has given us His Holy Spirit. Now, we know that in the Old Testament days, as we were just talking about, the Spirit would come and go. The Spirit would come upon a prophet, would come upon a king or a judge, but the Spirit would come and go. Now, as we move into the New Testament, we find that the Spirit lives in all believers. The Spirit never leaves us. We can leave the Spirit. We can walk away, but the Spirit is always there. And so, you know, if we have been disobedient or whatever, we can pick it up just like that when the Spirit gives us the nudge. So that's how it works. And that's a beautiful thing, is that we can do, Zechariah is saying, we can do great things through the Spirit of God. Now, we say that, and we've heard that how many times? How many times have you heard someone say, a pastor or a worship leader, we can do great things? You know, I'm one of them, say, yes, amen, we can. But then sometimes I forget that. I forget that God is in control. I forget that God can do great things, and He can, and He wants to in us. And I'm thinking of family life. God has given me some words for you, and I look at you out here, and what do I see? We talked a little bit with Barb about this. I see a remnant. You know, after it's all said and done, the dust settles, and who's left standing? The remnant. You know, and sometimes with a remnant, a small remnant, we get down on ourselves, we get discouraged. Think, oh man, we must not be doing it right. What is wrong? Whatever. Sometimes God is saying, wait. Your time is coming. Your time has come. And you'll know it. And that's when the Spirit starts moving again, when hearts are willing and people are trusting. You know, sometimes we forget that in this walk in the Christian life, it's twofold. It's God, using us. God will never force us to do something against our will. Did you know that? You know, he will not. God's a gentleman. But it's what takes us to respond to him. You know, Abraham had to respond, didn't he? When God says, leave, you know? Abraham didn't sit there and say, I'm not going to leave until you literally physically pick me up and move me and pack my bags and we're going to leave. He didn't do that. God told him, and he responded out of obedience. That translates to power and faith, and great things happen. We need to understand that, you know, in what we do. God doesn't look at family life and say, oh, there are just a few people here, a few people there. He looks at possibilities. He's looking at my remnant. Who's going to be faithful? Who's going to be obedient? Who's going to step out and trust me, even when it doesn't make sense? Can they trust me? And he knows what he knows, what he knows, what he knows. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows where you're at. He knows when you're going to stumble. But the beautiful thing is God's grace. He uses us warts and all. We just need to do our part and be obedient. So I wanted to share that from Zechariah, that we can do great things in him. And then I want to turn to a passage from the New Testament. And it comes from John chapter 20, verses 19 and 29. And this is what God laid on my heart also this morning. And remember when Jesus, after his resurrection, he appeared to the disciples in many ways. Well, at this time, he appeared to his disciples, and then he appeared also, including with him, appears with the disciples, with Thomas. And I love this. I love it. Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach your hand, and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Then Thomas said that famous phrase, my Lord, my God. Finally, my Lord, my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have not believed. Yeah, and have believed. Excuse me. Thank you. Think about that. Mike could not have called me this morning and said, Denny, could you fill in? We have a problem. And if I would have said, oh, Mike, I'm glad you called, because I'm going to bring with me a very, very special guest. And Mike might say, out of curiosity, well, gee, who would that be? I said, oh, it's going to be a surprise for all of you. You're going to be amazed. So Mike comes, he's anticipating this great, what's he going to bring? Who's going to be the surprise guest? I stand up here, again, introduce myself to you and say, now, coming from one of the back doors is going to be Jesus. He's going to walk up here and he is going to talk to you. You know, some people would not believe even if that were the case. But Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. That's the beauty of the faith. The beauty of the faith is saying that God is going to do what God wants to do. You are God's remnant. And God is saying, are you going to believe? Are you going to walk with me when it seems impossible? Are you going to expect miracles when the world and many churches say, no, they don't happen today? Are you going to trust me? Are you going to trust me? Are you going to be like Thomas? I call it the second Thomas, not the doubting one, the believing one. See, that's what separates the faith, alive faith to dead faith. Alive faith says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And literally believe that. That's when miracles happen. When we get ourselves out of it, not by might, not by my power, but by my spirit. Once we reach that point, any church, anybody, great things happen. Oh, my friends, I can't tell you how many churches that I've seen through the years or whatever that are spiritually, I hate to say it, spiritually dead because they don't believe it. And when they read it in the Bible, it's just words on a page. It doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't have any significance. Jesus wants to transform life. Jesus wants to transform your life and my life. He's not done with me. I was saved many years ago. I'm learning fresh things every single day. You know, sometimes I take a step forward. Sometimes I take a step back. Because I'm always reminded, God always humbles us. He says, get back to the basics. Get back to your basics. Because it is there that you find strength. It is there that you find encouragement. Now, excuse me. I want to finish with, oh, it's only 11 o'clock. We got another 45 minutes. Praise God. And I want to go with Joel. Joel, and I shared this with Barb. God had given me this to your church a couple of nights ago. And to me, it is Joel 2:20-29. Peter really quoted this passage at Pentecost. When the Spirit was available, would come upon the believers. And isn't it ironic that God laid that on Joel's heart hundreds of years prior to Pentecost? And I'd like to read it to you, 28:29. You can follow along with me. And afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. So could we have some music maybe in the back a little bit here? Thank you. We are living in the age of the Spirit. God has made His Holy Spirit available each and every one of us. The difference in our lives and living a strong, fulfilling life is walking in the Spirit. That is so important for us to see, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. That's the difference maker in your life personally, when you're walking in the Spirit. Let me ask you something, if I may do that. You don't have to raise your hand, but if you feel comfortable, then do so. How many have been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Oh, my goodness. I'm preaching to the choir. Yeah, really. So you know what I'm talking about. You know, I want you to go back to your moment when you felt the Holy Spirit nudging you. I was at Calvary here a while back, and it was a Wednesday night, and we were praying for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it was one of the real moments I felt at Calvary where we really kind of, you know, we said, you know what, we are really going to not only encourage people, but challenge them if they've not experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so we had people coming down. There were some pastors up there. We're praying for people and lay people. Some deacons were with us as well. And people were lined up. Band was playing, the worship team. People were coming down in droves. And so there was this one individual came to me in the line, and we start praying. And I knew he was struggling because he wanted it so bad. And finally I told him, I said, don't feel bad. Jesus loves you. If this is something that you want in your heart, he will honor that. Don't be discouraged if he doesn't honor it right now. It will come. His time will come for you. Remember your story. When did it come for you? What was going on in your life when you felt that power of the Spirit that Jesus promised? I remember mine. Full gospel. I prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, God, I want everything that you want to give me, I want it all. And so I prayed for maybe a week or 2 weeks for the manifestation of the Spirit to be expressed in its fullness in me. It never happened. I never was discouraged because I knew that God wanted me to have this gift. So I waited and trusted for the moment. So I'm at this luncheon. I'm sitting in the front row. Again, the praise team's going. And I receive my prayer language. You know? And I went, this is like frosting on the cake. What it did, it just assured me. God just edified me. That I'm with you, Denny. I love you. See, I promised this. Didn't I promise you? I'm not going to let you down. And you're going to need this. You're going to need this in your life. You're going to need to be reminded of that promise. That promise I've given you. Because you are going to be going through some hard, hard, hard times. But I want you to know that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I love you. So talk about love. Talk about love. God loves us so much. He wants to spoil us. He wants to spoil us with his love. He wants to spoil us with his power that translates into his love. So that we can say with confidence, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, most of you raise your hand. I don't know how. That was amazing. I wasn't expecting that, to be honest with you. I was pleasantly surprised. But maybe for some of you, they're still wondering about this. That doesn't mean that your brothers or your sisters are, God loves them more than you. Not at all. Not at all. If you want that gift, you pray with your heart to Jesus. Pray to him. You say, God, I want all that you want to give me. And be patient. It's guaranteed it will come. You have a Spirit-filled church. And people love Jesus and they thirst for the power of the Spirit. That church can turn a community around. It really can. And God's timing. And when God says when, he'll open up the floodgates. Isn't it wonderful to know? You know, I think that to me, that is so reassuring. that God is so faithful. So I'm here today to encourage you. You know, I'm here to encourage you that when you feel the nudging of the Spirit, don't hold back. Don't hold back. Be obedient. You see, the more we are obedient to the Spirit, the more He gives us. The more we are obedient to the Spirit, more often we see prophecy. We see the Spirit moving in a congregation, moving in their family, moving in their lives. And it's not to be kept here. It's to go outside when we leave. You know? Am I making any sense to you? I think it is so important that we prepare ourselves for that. And when we come to church, we expect God to be here. And we expect God to do mighty things. We expect God to heal, to give us a message, to give us direction, to give us encouragement, and never, ever, ever, ever apologize for that, my friends. Church, hear that. Never, never apologize. All I can say, and you can, I think I can get an amen from all of you once again as I close, that when you experience a miraculous manifestation of the Spirit, it's undeniable and it helps you to keep going on and on and on and on. Then you see that God can do the impossible. And man, when that happens, then there's dancing in the Spirit. There's rejoicing and there's praising God, and God loves it. He loves it when His people praise Him. King David was dancing and praising God. And what did his wife say? Well, how was her response? You're nuts. You're nuts. And David said, no, I'm not, because I love my Lord. He was king. He was a leader. You know, church, walk in the Spirit. You're filled in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And you'll be blessed. And the church will be blessed. And God will increase your numbers. You know, not by might, nor by power. There's a lot of good. You need structure, absolutely. You need those things. But what they do, they're just all peripheral. It's only what makes the church grow is the Spirit moving. I keep saying this because I want to encourage you to understand that you think your church is small now. You keep walking with Jesus through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and there will come a time, I really believe this, when you'll open up those back doors and there'll be crowds of people standing praising and thirsting for more and more of what God wants them to have. I believe this church will be a witness to your families and your community. Because any church, if a church is going to grow, people have to be excited about it. They have to be excited about what's going on in their church. Now, if you're not excited about your church, then chances are you're not going to invite anybody to come. Why would you? But when you're excited, you know things are happening in your church, you want people to experience that excitement themselves. You do. So we're going to close. We're going to pray. And I'm going to pray and just ask the Holy Spirit to touch us. If you need just a little boost in the Spirit this morning, then ask the Holy Spirit for that. God does not want us to hold back. God does not want you to hold back. Whatever it is for you, maybe you are struggling, maybe it's a financial, whatever the issue, or health issue, or concern, or you're frustrated, whatever it is for you, God wants to heal you today. God wants to touch you And God wants you to feel His presence. That's a wonderful thing. That's not a Denny thing or Jan thing or a Mike or Barb. It's a God thing. That's what God wants for you. So whatever it is, let's take a moment or two in our own hearts and lift them up to the Lord. And whatever you need, whatever your needs are, God says, this is your day. This is your day. I want to fulfill that need for you. I want to bless you today. Don't let Satan rob you of fulfilling that need. This is your day. This is your day. So pray about that. And if you need prayer, if you want to come up and I can pray with you, and we can pray together, and we can ask Jesus and the Holy Spirit and to be united in with our spirit and let Him fill us with His presence and power and fill us with the answer to that need. Anybody have a need today? God's ready to fill it. Let us pray. Praise you. Brothers and sisters, God just laid this on my heart. He's encouraging us to come to the altar. There's something about coming to the altar. There's something about coming before Him in His presence and lifting our hearts up to Him. Just in adoration and joy and love and praise. God is calling you. He's calling us. Come and worship me. Let me fill you. Let me empower you. Let me bless you. Let me strengthen you. Let me give you hope. I love you. I love you so much. Oh, my children, I love you so much. Oh, God, thank you for loving us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for this moment. That we have with you. A moment that cannot be taken from us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. Thank you. We love you, Jesus. Oh, what a holy moment, Lord. Oh, God, we just give you praise. We give you praise now, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, mighty Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, Lord. Let us just praise him. Let us just praise him. We praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We are not afraid. We are not ashamed, Lord. We love you. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing now and what you're going to do, Lord. We know that great things are happening now and great things are to come. We give you praise and glory. We stand against Satan, Lord. We bind him in Jesus' name. Lord, you are victor. You are victory, Lord. We claim victory in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you. Oh, God, you're so wonderful. We thank you for this moment, Lord. These moments with you, they're so precious, Lord. We thank you. We are in awe of you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you. Go, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Let God just bless you immensely as you leave this auditorium, as you leave this place, Lord. As you, Lord, as we all leave this place, I pray that we'll be transformed in a way, a new way, that we've never been transformed before. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We love you so much. And we praise you and thank you for your mighty Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Again, if anybody needs prayer, if you want to stay up at the altar, that's fine. Need prayer, that's great.